And now, coming to you nearly live at the intersection of all major highways in the 7th largest economy in the world, inside the California Auto Museum, it's the NorCal Cruise Cast with Sam Toll and Pete Coffey. Pete, how are you today?
Hey, we're doing great. Just having a good afternoon here with all these awesome-looking cars, kicking back and just talking car.
You know, it's a lot of fun to walk through these doors and see, you know, you step back in time, see these crazy automobiles from the very start of automotive transportation through to some of the most spectacular, you know, supercars that exist. This is a great place to hang out.
Oh, it really is. And like you say, it unfolds the whole history of the automobile and how it's intertwined with America. And a lot of history here. A lot of people have memories that just pop up they haven't thought of for years and years. I know at a couple of the car shows that I've been in, with my Studebaker, I've had some people, well, can I please sit in it? Well, heck yeah, you know, and they'll get in that car behind the steering wheel. Oh, this is just like my grandmom's. And, you know, that's what this museum is all about, is reliving those memories that you had.
You know, it's funny because the California Auto Museum does change its, the displays that they have. The flash and flare this is the last week of it. These cars of the 50s are going, gone to be replaced with Camaros and Mustangs. But the thing that's great about this museum is that they have something new pretty much every time I walk in here. And, you know, like you say, it takes you back to your childhood, to the days of high school when you'd cruise. It's just a lot of fun. And of course, that's for folks who are our age and older. What's great about it is seeing the kids in here and having them, you know, sort of look around and ooh and ah at the cars that are new to them, but that their parents are introducing them to, and on the weekends having them kind of hang out in and showing them how to get their hands dirty and how to get around those cars. It really is, for car people, the California Auto Museum is just a fabulous place to hang out. So
certainly is.
You know, it's a lot of fun. So let's get into our calendar, Pete. I know that summertime is just getting kicked off. First day of summer's right around the corner, and we got a lot of stuff to talk about.
There's a lot happening in Northern California all through the summer.
So we're going to start out tonight, one of our favorite shows, of course, the Auburn Cruise Night in downtown Auburn on June 12th. That's a Friday night. It starts at 5 p.m. They're looking for 72 and older vehicles. If you need information about it, not call 916-416-6742, and please leave your dog at home.
Yes, indeed. And on June 14th, Sunday, San Mateo, it's Picnic in the Park at Beresford Park. That's 2720 Alameda de los Pulgas from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. The entry fee is $15. And so info, talk to Paul at 650-366-6563.
In Sacramento, it's the 18th annual car show and concert. Natomas High School at 3301 Fong Ranch Road. Public admission is $15. If you'd like more information, contact 916-634-5558.
Also June 14th, Sunday in Sacramento, it's Diamonds and Dreams at the K1 Speed, Bradshaw Road. It's from 9 till 11:30 a.m., and it's a free event, and they've got coffee and a car show there. For info, you can speak to Kim, that's K-Y-M, at dreamsanddrivers.com.
Kim's a great person. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Pete. She's a wonderful person. She does a lot of charity events, and we talked about this last week. That venue is just a kick in the pants, right?
Oh, absolutely. When you get done with a car show, see everything that's going on there, talk to all the good people there, see the vehicles, step inside that K1 Speed and watch those go-karts go around. You will immediately be applying for your driver's license there and hopping in a cart once you see it. It is so much fun.
You know, I got to tell you, you mentioned that last week, and I got to tell you, I'm going to be at that show, and I'm going to jump in one of those cars. I think that's going to be a kick in the pants.
Oh, it is.
Sweet. Okay, so we're going to jump to June 19th and 20th at Modesto. It's Back to Graffiti at the Fruit Yard, 7948 Yosemite Boulevard. Entry fee is $35. For more information, contact 209-523-4479.
Also, that same weekend in June 19th, 20th, in Dixon, it's the Antique Motorcycle Club of America. It's their 15th annual motorcycle show and swap meet at the Dixon Fairgrounds. Spaces are $45 to show. It's for 2 days. For info, talk to Jim at 530-622-6531.
And then on Saturday, June 20th at French Camp, it's the Pete and Pat's Picnic at Paulson Ranch.
Not me, but not, them.
Not Pete, but other Pete. I've heard him referred to as the youngest the oldest teenager on the face of the planet. That's at Paulson Ranch, 1504 Bowman Road, from 2 to 8 p.m., $15 a head. And for more information, call Pete at 209-983-0271.
Also on June 20th on Saturday in Rancho Cordova, it's Mustangs and Fords at the Marriott. There we go with room and numerals. X1X. What the heck is that, Sam?
I think that's 19.
Okay. Yeah, shows you how much I paid attention. Anyway, it's at the Marriott Hotel on Sunrise Boulevard in Rancho Cordova. It's 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. The entry fee is $25. For info, it's 916-207-7473.
You know, I watch Jeopardy a lot, and they've got a category that pops up every so often that has you give the Roman Roman number for the Roman numeral number, and it's a lot of fun trying to figure that out sometimes.
Boy, I would have missed that one.
In Paradise, the 19th annual Cruise in Paradise car show for the Paradise, located at the Paradise Performing Arts Center at 777 Nunley from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Entry fees $20. For more information, 530-877-7250.
And on Father's Day, June 21st in Roseville, it's Denio's Father's Day Car Show, 1551 Vineyard Road, from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. The admission is free, and it's for 1975 and older vehicles. For info, call 916-960-2895.
I've been to that show a couple of times. That Denio show is a kick in the pants. And I think that's actually on the Saturday, Pete. I think that's on the 20th.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I think it is. It's the day before Father's Day.
Gotcha.
But that show's a lot of fun. So coming up in Meta Vista, the Lions Car Show, Meta Vista Park, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. The entry fee is $25. For more information, contact Greg, 530-637-5359.
And in Winnemucca, Nevada, it's Cruise 2015 at Vesco City Park, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. The entry fee is $30. It's for all makes and models. And for info, you can speak to Randy at 775-623-0362.
So you've been to that car show, right, Pete?
You know, it was by a fluke. We were coming back from vacation, and we just came across it. Great show. I'm thinking they probably had 150 cars out there at that time. It's been a few years since we attended that, but you see all makes and models, all years. It's a good cross section of everything that was rolling on the road back in the day, and it was a well organized, it was on the lawn out there, lots of trees. It was a really neat show. Really had a good time.
Well, I'm a Nevada boy, and I can attest two things. One, you will get all kinds of different barn find cars that have been purchased and sitting on ranches for 50-60 years come out, and believe it or not, there is grass in Winnemucca, Nevada.
Now, whether it's green or not remains to be seen with the drought. But
so coming up in Fair Oaks, another Dreams and Drivers event. It's her third annual pancreatic cancer fundraiser. Rollingwood Athletics Club at 9373 Winding Oaks Drive from 5 to 10 p.m. Again, Kim at KYM at dreamsanddrivers.com. She gets right back to you. Send her an email. She's very responsive. If you need any information, you need any sort of info on how that money is spent and what she does, she'll be very responsive. So give her an email if you have any questions.
So now we'll move up to the real June 21st Sunday. It is Father's Day, and in Roseville, it's a car show at the Antique Drove, 236 Harding Boulevard, from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's 1972 and older vehicles. For info, talk to Jim at 916-803-1788.
Okay, and then in Reno, from the June 25th through June 28th, it's a great, fun event in downtown Reno, the Rockabilly Riot. If you need information up there, 775-291-5008. I'm pretty sure that our sponsor, the Vintage Vandals, are the music guys.
I was going to ask if they were going to be out there. Yeah. I would think that they would be.
Certainly they will be. I'll double check, and I'll put it in the show notes to confirm that those Vintage Vandals will be up there. But it's a real good time. If you're into rat rods and tattoos and having a good time listening to rockabilly music, that's the spot to be.
Absolutely. Also on June 26th, Friday in Rancho Cordova, it's Vintage Fridays at the Sacramento Vintage Ford, 2484 Mercantile Drive, from 4 to 9 p.m. It's open to all pre-1973 U.S. makes and models, featuring Daryl's Vintage Gourmet Hot Dogs. And for info, call 916-853-2244.
The GTO Club that I am president of has our monthly meetings there at Vintage, at the Vintage Ford place. They've got a cool little soda fountain in there. And there was some speculation that he was going to shut that show down that he's been doing for years and years now. Last year, he was kind of on the edge. Brought it back last year. I'm glad to see they're doing it again this year.
And they're having a fairly good turnout since the return then, I would assume.
Yeah, I went there a couple times last year. It was packed.
Cool.
In fact, one month, our meeting was held on the same day. And boy, I tell you, we were parked across the street. We held our meeting on the grass, and there were tons of cars there. Going. Okay, on Saturday, June 27th in West Sacramento, it's the Bergeyman Capital City River City Classic at Riverwalk Park from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's $30, and for more information, 916-549-0851.
And I got to say that Don Honstein, my ex-partner on the John Sweeney's Cruisin' Talk show there, Don and I would fill in when John was away. He is going to be working that event, and he is the flame artist extraordinaire. In fact, I know he's won some awards at the Autorama and a few other shows, some of his work. So if you get a chance to say hi to Don, he'll fill you in on really, really cool painting techniques down there too.
You know, I've seen some of his work, and it's just spectacular. It's, you know, the quality of flames that he throws on the side of cars is just really spectacular.
Yeah, like I say, he's an award winner for sure. A walking legend,
that's
so
right
to speak, you know. Okay, also on June 27th, Saturday in Rancho Cordova, it's Mopar Day in the Park, number 22. It's presented by the Capital City Mopar, Hagen Community Park. Gates open at 8 a.m. It has a judged car show, swap meet, and car corral. The entry fee at the gate is $30. Swap meet space is also $30. Car corral, $20. For info, call 916-849-7582.
Still on Saturday, up in the Gold Country, Angels Camp, the 8th annual Classic Car Show at Utica Park, 1000 South Main Street, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Entry fees $25. For more information, call Terry at 209-728-9971.
And also on June 27th, if you find yourself way up north there in Cave Junction, Oregon, it's the Lions Club Show and Shine Classic and Custom Car Show at Jubilee Park. Entry fee at the gate is $30. For info, talk to Harry at 541-596-2104.
Then we're going down to Lodi for the Picnic in the Grove. Mickey Grove Park, from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Entry fee is $30. For more information, 209-957-6292.
And same Saturday, June 27th in Marysville, the Classic Car and Bike Show at the historic downtown Marysville on D Street from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Entry fees $20. For info, talk to John at 916-698-7637.
You know, I really like the old town Marysville. It's really beautiful. Those old brick buildings kind of puts you back in time to the 30s and 40s where you kind of, you know, get a really nice feel for good old Americana. It's really nice there.
Oh, yeah. And that was quite a cruise down D Street back in the day. I moved up to Seattle in 68, laid over in Marysville on the way up to Seattle when I was a ripe old 18. And D Street was hopping back then. I kind of not wanted to go to Seattle and hang around Marysville back in the day. That was a good cruising street out there.
Yeah, it's really neat. Takes you back in time. Still on Saturday, the 27th, South Lake Tahoe, Street Rods on the River, Paradise Park, from from 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Entry fees $45. For more information, 775-742-8612.
And on June 28th, Sunday in Pinole, it's the 24th annual Cruisin' in the Sun, Old Town Pinole and Fernandez Park, presented by the Northern California Cruisers Classic Car Club. 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Limited to 325 cars, 1975 and older vehicles, please. For info, talk to Kathy at 510-233-0721.
On Sunday, the 28th, it's Sacramento, the 52nd Street Car Show, presented by the Italian Hot Rod Association, 52nd Street and Folsom Boulevard, from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Entry fee is $25. For information, 916-834-7439. And I got to say, I have attended a couple of those Italian Hot Rod Association shows in the past. Those Italians know how to throw a great car show.
And I'm thinking they know how to really trick out Fiats along the way or something here, right?
What does Fiat stand for? Is that Fix It Again?
Fix It Again, Tony. Yeah. I think there's a couple others acronyms there, too. We won't mention those.
That's right. They're not family-friendly. And, of course, this show is a family-friendly show. So if you get a chance, the Italian Hot Rod Association, great group of folks, really fun to see what's going on there.
And also June 28th on Sunday in Sacramento, it is a swap meet put on at California State University, student parking lot number 7. It is presented by the Vintage Chevrolet Club of America, 5 a.m. It starts at, it's Zero Dark 30. Spaces are $25. Car Corral is $20. For info, talk to Jerry at 916-988-2070. And I think they usually have a really good breakfast served out there, too. They set up the Easy Umps and do hotcakes and a couple other things out there for breakfast with coffee. So plan to attend that one. It's a good swap meet.
If it's a swap meet, Pete Coffee will be there.
Amen, brother.
So finally, wrapping up the calendar of events in Modesto, the 8th annual Rod and Custom Car Show at the Modesto Elks Club starts at 9 a.m., ends at 3 p.m. It's $30 to get in, and for information, 209-524-4421. That puts a wrap on the calendar. Let's listen to a couple words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back to talk about some interesting things. Pete, where you're going to be this weekend, where I'll be, and then we got some other stuff to talk about. So we'll be right back after some words from our sponsors.
Thank you. Now, I'll ask them the big question in just 1 minute. But first, George, I want to have a serious talk with you. Fenneman, what do you know about your DeSoto Plymouth dealer?
Well, Groucho, I know that he has a beautiful showroom. He has...
Did you know that every DeSoto Plymouth dealer really tries to do his best for a customer?
Well, I was going to say Groucho.
You were going to say Groucho. Why weren't you going to say that DeSoto Plymouth dealers are interested in seeing folks treated fairly and squarely?
And in addition, Groucho...
I never was very good at addition. Now, look, Fenneman, I've been all over the country, and that's the way DeSoto Plymouth dealers are. Friendly, fair, and square.
So, no matter why you come in, whether it's to buy a new car, a used car, or a simple repair job, the best place to go...
is to a DeSoto Plymouth dealer.
You're so right.
Okay, we're back after that word from our sponsors. I'm here with Mark Woodward, who represents the California Auto Museum and handles the car sales. I see over my shoulder, Mark, there's some new cars in the inventory. What do you got over there today?
All right, I'm going to focus on another three this week. First one up is a 1957 Volkswagen bus. This one's a little different. I really encourage everyone to take a look at our website. It's a Zebra bus that's kind of... I'm not sure how to describe it. It's kind of turned into like a safari truck. It's got a canvas top, very well done, professional build. It is different for sure, but very cool.
I would call it different. Yeah.
Next one up, I've got a 1940 LaSalle. This one actually was in the museum on display for quite a while. It's in beautiful, beautiful shape. It's nice black car, really nice chrome trim on it. Nice car. Had it for a while. Hopefully find it a new home soon.
How much are you looking for that? How much are you asking?
We're asking $19,000, and I just want to remind everybody, don't feel like you can't make an offer on these cars. A lot of these are on consignment, and I can always check with the owner and see what they have to say.
So as a traditional used car dealer, you can make a deal, and like Cal used to say, if I can't make you the best deal, I'll eat a bug.
I don't know if I'm going to do that, but I just might. You never know.
So, and how about that Volkswagen? How much? What's the asking price?
Volkswagen's asking price is $27,000.
Okay. All right.
And last up today, I have a 1995 Chevy Corvette. This one's really nice. It's actually got.
Pete's giving us a demo.
Pete's
over
running
there.
Over to point out the car right now. It's only got about 44,000 miles on it. For a 20-year-old car, that's significant. Significantly low, I should say.
It is.
Smells brand new inside. And it's really surprising. The guy put a supercharger on it, and it has definitely livened that car up.
I saw that car at the Vets for Vets show. You were kind enough to kind of give me a walkthrough on that with the supercharger there. I did poke my head in there, and like you say, it really kind of looks like it just rolled off the floor, the factory showroom floor. It's really clean inside.
Yeah, it's in very, very nice shape, low miles, and he's got a price of $15,000 on it. We actually just lowered the price again. So, yeah, I think someone's going to grab that one pretty soon because that's a good deal for that car with all the modifications.
And of course, it is the right color. It is Arrest Me Red, which is, you know, as a sports car owner, that's pretty much the only color it should be. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's nice. Beautiful Corvette. So again, Volkswagen bus. You've got the LaSalle, is that right?
I do.
And then this beautiful Corvette. There's plenty of other cars here, including new ones pretty much every day. So if you're ever in the neighborhood down here, right on the on Front Street here off of Broadway, I recommend you come on by, spend your $8, take a kick through, and call Mark in advance if you can want to set up an appointment, and he can give you personal details of any car that you might be interested. Mark, how can people get a hold of you?
Best way is to call my cell phone. The phone number is 916-806-8068, or you can always take a look at our current inventory on our website, which is www.camcarsales.com.
And that's different from the regular normal CAM website, right?
Correct. Okay. But we are linked from the main website, so if you get to the museum, you can always find the car sales there.
Super.
As well.
And then once again, just for folks who haven't heard our spiel before, when you get a new car in, that car actually shows up on eBay for the first week. Is that right?
It does. Yeah, we've got it up on eBay first, so I can't give out the price while it's on eBay. So if you are on our website and you don't see a price listed, that usually indicates that it's up on eBay at that time.
And for our eBay listeners out there, what is your eBay handle if they're on the eBay website?
I'm pretty sure it's Cal Auto Museum.
Okay, well, we'll check that out, and I'll put that in the show notes. I'll log on to eBay, get the accurate one if that's not it, and that way folks can, if they're interested in seeing what cars are new and fresh and exciting, they can set up an RSS feed and knock themselves out with the new cars as they show up. So I appreciate your time today, Mark. Thank you very much, and we look forward to hearing from you next week.
Thanks so much for having me, as usual.
All right, and now another word from our sponsors.
When you stop in at any of the more than 3,000 DeSoto Plymouth dealers, it makes no difference how big or how small the service job to be done. The important thing is, these dealers appreciate your call. And to prove it, they make it their business to please you in every way they can. To do this, they offer you the benefit of not only the best tools and equipment, not only the factory-trained mechanics, but they offer you courtesy and a fair deal. Being courteous and thoughtful, being fair and square is their creed, their way of doing business. So wherever you drive, remember, across this nation are more than 3,000 DeSoto Plymouth dealers, each with an honest desire to serve you. And remember, all dealers who sell DeSoto also sell Plymouth.
Okay, we're back after those words from our sponsors, and we'd like to talk about what's going to happen this week, Pete. Busy week so far. We've got some interesting things coming up. I'm going to be at the Loomis show. It's starting up Thursday night. They're going to go weekly through on Thursday nights through the end of July, so June and July. And that show starts around 5 o'clock, and it ends probably dusk. There's going to be a car show, of course, but there's also vendors and music and kind of fun stuff. Since I live in Loomis, I'm going to attend that show. Then Friday night, I'm going to be out at the Thunder Valley show there. They've got a little show and shine. It's free out there at Thunder Valley. Starts around 5 in the afternoon, and again, that one goes till dusk. I should be out there with the GTO. I think some of the guys from the GTO Club will be there. And then on Saturday, of course, I'll be at the Lincoln Car Show. Downtown Lincoln starts at 7 a.m., goes through till until 3:30, I think. And I think Senator Gaines will be out there awarding, making an award. I know that the Rods and Relics Car Show or Car Club is putting that on. They'll have a lot of different awards, a lot of different cars. They closed down downtown Lincoln, and we've been to that show a couple of times as a club. The GTO Club's been out there. It's a lot of fun. If you get a chance, you're heading out to Lincoln, come on out, check out the cars, eat some great food, listen to some music, and have some fun.
Well, you know, this weekend, Sam will be your man about town. And, of course, all the events that he attends out there, he takes his camcorder and his flash camera there and takes pictures of absolutely everything that's going on, movies and all. So when you look at our site there, I'm sure he'll post some of the things that he has taken pictures of. It'll be just like being there, except for not. So see everything that's going on.
That's right, Pete. Yeah, it's actually kind of fun to walk around with a GoPro and get a tour, sort of a virtual tour of the show. Gives you a chance to see it. You know, it takes 20 minutes. You may not have 20 minutes to watch it, but it really is kind of neat. Any car that catches my eye, I'm going to do a walk around. I'll poke the go through in the window if it's open to give you a chance to see some of those cars. You know, it's always fun to go through an old 30s Packard or an English race car, cars that you don't see all the time. And, you know, everybody's got a Camaro, but some of those rare cars are really fun to do a walk around. So that's always kind of fun. And I will post that on our Facebook page. That, of course, is Facebook.com/NorCalCruiseCast. Get a chance to get on Facebook, check that out. I will usually post them that night or the next morning after the show. So be a busy weekend. Pete, are you doing anything this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to be visiting the beautiful, thriving metropolis of Portola, California. The Kaiser Club is going to have a meetup there. It's our spring meet, and I'm a member of the Kaiser Club, and it's a really, really good group of people. If you get a chance to hook up with the Kaiser people, you'll find a whole nother world out there. They're a club that actually does things whenever they have their meets. Yes, we have our business meeting, but we always do some kind of a tour, some kind of an educational thing. We've done everything from olive oil packing companies to the town of Vallejo to some old arson buildings. It's just arsenal buildings, excuse me. And they're always going somewhere that's really fun and interesting. And so the guy to talk to if you're interested in Kaisers or talking to people in the club, the manager is Philip Rue, and he can be contacted at 209-369-1623. And my wife and I have been members of that club for, I don't know, 12, 14 years, something like that. Currently don't have a Kaiser, but you don't need one to hang around with the group. And we're going to get back into one, but it's a fun, really group of people, really, really friendly people, and lots of fun stuff going twice a year with them.
Pete, how often, what year run did Henry Kaiser make those cars?
Well, he started production in 47, and the last Kaisers that were built were in 55, but they only built about 500 of them in 1955. They were kind of outpaced by the horsepower race in a way. They did put superchargers on their car in 54, but it was still the Continental six-cylinder engine. They were a bit quicker, but everybody was getting to them with the V8s, and they just didn't have the finance or the engineering to put a V8 in production. So most of the cars were produced really between 48 and 52 right there. That was the bulk of their high production years. But, you know, they made a lot of different models. The Henry J and the Kaiser Manhattan. They made a Traveler, which is actually the first hatchback. Quite a history there. And you know, Henry Kaiser was quite an industrialist. He was the one that started Kaiser Hospitals. That was started out in Hawaii for his workers, actually. And the old sand and gravel plant, the Kaiser Permanente sand and gravel plant, still exists down there in Livermore.
You know, Henry Kaiser represents a breed of American that was going really strong in the first part of the 20th century. And it's kind of remarkable to take a look at his legacy and consider the accomplishments and what he did. You know, you look at the Kaiser ships that he cranked out. I've read some history about the production that they did. I mean, they busted out, you know, once they got rolling and they got their production line going, they produced a ship every 3 days. And you know, they did that part of the yeoman effort that helped turn the tide of the war, both in the Pacific theater and in Europe. But he didn't just make Liberty ships. He did an awful lot of other stuff. Pete, you were telling me that he was into all kinds of manufacturing.
Oh, he was. You know, he had Kaiser Aluminum, and they built all kinds of aluminum products. They even did dishwashers for a period of time. They did rototillers, of course, his vehicles. And, you know, you mentioned the Victory ships. There was still one available for tour in the harbor down there right out of San Francisco. I think it's on the Benicia side down there. But you can actually board that Victory ship and tour. There's a number of docents on board. Pretty amazing feat that he had done. He also had built the Hoover Dam, and he built part of the Pan American Highway down in South America, too. So quite the industrialist, and it was said that if you want anything done that nobody can do, Henry Kaiser was the man to call.
You know, it's really refreshing to read about individuals like that, folks who make up part of our great American heritage. It's, you know, we kind of look back with and wax nostalgic about those men who had the best interest of, you know, obviously their company, but also their country and their workers. You know, I think that's one thing that is sorely missing from today's free market economy. You know, you look at everyone and they use the excuse of the financial fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders as justification for doing some of the things that would make Henry Kaiser probably turn over in his grave if he were able to get wind of it.
I think so. Yep.
It's really it's refreshing that he is part of our American heritage, and it would be great if some of today's leaders would take a look at the history books and kind of, you know, maybe incorporate some of his values back into the running of their companies. It would really be something to see.
Oh, yeah. Well, attitudes such as his is what built this country. Absolutely.
It really is. And it's great to see that his legacy is living on, not only in the boat that you made mention of, is one of his Victory ships there in the Bay Area, but of course the Kaiser cars and folks like you and the rest of the folks in the Kaiser Club. You know, keeping that legacy alive.
Yep.
Yeah, good. So, you know, Pete, I'd like to talk a little bit about something that has caught my eye recently. There's been a number of articles that have touched on this subject. I'm a computer guy. I bought my first computer that I ever owned, an Apple Macintosh 128K computer from Steve Jobs himself and Steve Wozniak in an event 4 days before the Macintosh was rolled out in Palo Alto. I've been playing with computers professionally my entire career, and I've recently caught wind of some interesting stuff. Computer hardware does not function without computer software making things happen. You know, the PC boards and the monitors and the keyboards are great, but without software, nothing happens on those computers. And General Motors, BMW, and a number of other car manufacturers have for a very long time been incorporating computer technology, hardware, and software into their automobiles to control all kinds of things. Pete, you're a 30-year veteran of turning wrenches and getting your hands in the depths of cars. What's your experience? When did computers start creeping into the cars?
Well, actually, I started turning wrenches July 2nd, 1969. So I got considerable years in there. And even at that date, I was working for a Volkswagen dealership, Econo Motors, down in Riverside, California. Even those cars were computer-controlled fuel injection back in the day.
Wow.
Yes, it was a very basic injection, but they did have the computer in the back, and that's what made the show go right there. So I've seen a lot of changes in the years, in the 45 years that I've been doing this. They got really involved and really heavy into computers late 70s, early 80s, right around there. But all these computers were specific to the vehicles. However, in late 90s, early 2000s, everything started going PC-based, which changed the ballpark. Absolutely, it did. Gave a lot more flexibility to the things that you could do with the vehicle. vehicle, a lot more control off of both emissions, braking, steering, audio. Everything kind of came alive when they went to PC based. I can't really say that I had a whole lot of fun with it. I kind of resisted it in a way. I'm kind of old school, but it is what it is. But a lot of the advancement they've made with emission controls and safety are based on the new computer technology. In fact, I last my last 20-year stint was with Infiniti down at Sacramento Infiniti, and as I left a year and a half ago or so, our flagship car had 27 onboard computers on it. So
Holy cow.
Is being run by those computers to this day.
So the computers, of course, you know, kind of operate like a black box. You had explained to me earlier that, you know, they control and monitor and make note of all kinds of different things that happen, velocity and pitch and yaw and braking and you know, all sorts of different things in the event of an accident. What's your experience as far as, you know, the software and how it was able to capture that data?
Well, it's interesting because as you drive, everything that is going on with that vehicle is being recorded. And it has come up into question of who owns those recordings. Let's say if you get into an accident, it can run back minutes before that actual incident and review what brake position, what throttle position, what road speed, the yaw rate of the vehicle. This information, once pulled out of the magic black boxes there, can be turned over to lawyers on both sides or the manufacturer. So it's come into question as far as who actually owns all this information that is stored in there. But everything that you're doing with that vehicle at any time, keep in mind, that is being recorded on the black box as you drive.
So that brings me to sort of my point. There's two interesting threads that I'd like to discuss. One is with insurance companies. Now, obviously, insurance companies like to use all kinds of information to build actuary tables to figure out how much money they can pull out of your pocket without you, you know, actually being bled completely dry. And so, you know, they're more and more wanting to have access to this data on a real-time basis. I know that Progressive has an opportunity to save a little money if you'll plug something into that little maintenance area. What do they call that, Pete? The little area where you plug your computer?
It was the OBD2 port.
Revealing my ignorance.
Onboard diagnosis stage 2.
That's it. Yes. Yeah. So they want to plug something in there, and that allows them to capture real-time information about your driving habits, you know, how fast you like to go, you know, what kind of violent turns you might make, you know, how fast your donuts that you spin in the middle of the freeway, what have you. And that allows them to, you know, to make decisions on how to, you know, again, how much money to charge you on a premium. And so I know that insurance companies are pushing more and more to get this information. It wouldn't surprise me if they start lining the wallets of some of our politicians to pass laws that will require such things. Here in California, of course, we're the nanny capital of the world, and it would not surprise me one bit if we started seeing some legislation that starts to encroach upon our ability to keep our driving habits and operations to ourselves. But taking that a step further, you know, people who have worked on their cars have basically done so sort of at the peril of public safety. I know certainly when I work on my car, sometimes after I'm finished, the car is less stable and less safe than it was when I started because I, you know, am not as experienced as I should be or throw caution to the wind. But GM, BMW, and other companies are making an argument that the software that operates your vehicle is actually on loan to you, and you don't actually have much right or leeway in making any modifications to that software or, you know, monkeying with it in any way because of a, quote, safety concern, unquote. And what they're saying basically in court, I've read a couple of GM lawyers make arguments in a court case that's winding its way through the court system, that they want want to actually basically, in essence, say that the car's software is on loan to you. Now, computer software, when you buy it, you're not purchasing a physical product. You're actually purchasing a license to operate the software. So if you... want to continue to using the software, all applications have a EULA or an end user license agreement that you have to agree to in order to operate the software. We're recording this podcast in a program from Adobe, and it is I'm operating it on a EULA that grants me the license, which can be revoked. And what GM is suggesting is that they want the ability to be able to revoke or to control your license of your software and limit what you can do with it.
That is an interesting premise, because things have gotten so much more involved than they were back in the early days. If you wanted to modify your carburetor, anything from more horsepower to quicker response to modify the emissions back in the 50s, they didn't think too much about that. However, now you're affecting so many things on that vehicle by changing your software. I mean, look back at the aeronautical industry. The Wright brothers didn't have any licensing required for building their plane. Well, now try and build your own plane and fly it around somewhere. Back in their day, the worst that could happen is you maybe hit a cow in a cornfield. Now, there's so many repercussions possible because of potential modifications that it's becoming a point that is worth considering.
It's really interesting, because, you think that when you, you buy a car, you make your last payment, you get that pink slip, that car is yours, and it's yours to do with as you see fit. And in fact, even before you make your last payment, if you want to throw a torsion bar on there, if you want to drop your suspension, if you want to put disc brakes, I mean, there's a lot of things that you can do to modify that vehicle, from the way that it came from the factory showroom. And what these companies are doing is arguing that you don't have the right to modify, things that the software controls without their express permission. And ultimately, what they're trying to convince the Superior Court judges of is that, again, the car's not really yours. The car's on the car. The software that operates that car, that makes that car function, is actually property of the manufacturer, and theoretically could be revoked if you do something that doesn't follow their guidelines or that they are not happy with.
Yeah, I would assume that it would also, with those modifications, throw you out of any possibility of factory warranty while the car was still covered under the manufacturer's warranty. So there's a lot of ramifications involved. The world is changing, and we seem to have less and less freedoms as we have the freedom to modify our cars at will. And that seems to be coming to a little bit of a demise as the lawyers and attorneys get more and more involved with the possibilities here.
Well, and if you think about it too, the only thing that prevents that sort of monkey business from happening to the detriment of folks, of the consumer, is for the consumer to speak up, to have their his or her voice heard, and to be vocal about saying, hey, if I buy a car and I pay my payments and I get my pink slip, and even if I don't, I have the right, the sort of freedom to be able to modify the automobile in a manner that is consistent with my desires and my wants. I've bought plenty of used Volkswagens, and I look at what the former owners have done, and like, man, why did he cut this, and why did he do that, and why did he or she do these kinds of things? And the fact of the matter is, I answer my own question, hey, because that was her car, and she can do whatever she wants with it. She wants to paint flames on the side of it, she wants to drop it, she wants to put a lift kit on it. That's the prerogative of the owner, and to limit that freedom is something that I really, I take umbrage with. It does not sit well with me.
Yeah, I can understand that. And, we also have the potential there to vote with our dollars. If these cars do have that set of rules that come with them and that lease involved with that information, you just might choose not to buy one of those newer vehicles because of that. I'll cite some of the diesel issues going on, especially here in California. The early Dodge Cummins the pre-smog laden units, they're selling for what they sold for new. Now, these may be 10-year-old trucks, but they don't have all that smog laden equipment on there with their urea fluid and et cetera, and the catalytic converters on there and the reburn. And so these trucks are holding their value just incredibly well, as though that they sold for brand new, because people in a lot of cases are electing not to buy the new vehicles because of all the required equipment on there. And, you know, I was talking about OBD2 on board Diagnosis 2. That's the current program been in use, for 12, 14 years. There is talk of OBD3, and that will be a constant tracking system transmitted to a satellite while you drive the vehicle. It will know what you're doing while you're doing and be constantly transmitted to those receiving that. It's great for finding a stolen vehicle, but it also has the capability of tracking your every move 24/7, even while the car is sitting static in your garage. So with those considerations, maybe some people will think, well, maybe I don't want a brand new car. Maybe I want one of these older vehicles that don't have those capabilities or downsides, if you choose them to call them that. I'm happy driving my 59 Volkswagen, because if the super sunspot blast ever hits this earth, it's not going to kill my car. I'll keep on going.
Well, you know what, Pete? You're sitting across from one of those folks. I'm a proud tinfoil and aluminum foil hat wearer. I've got two of them fitted real tight to the top of my head. And, you know, I say that jokingly, but I've often said that a little tiny drop or granule of paranoia is a good thing. And if you consider the idea that, you know, that somebody is going to be tracking your every move, whether you like it or not, you know, you might have the wherewithal to not want to do something based upon the fact that, you know, somebody's watching. I have a big concern with privacy and the fact that we pretty much have allowed our own personal privacies to be frittered away and chipped away to the extent that they really almost don't exist unless you fight real hard not to. I've watched a couple of interesting television shows where I watched Katie Couric sitting behind the wheel of a car, and a fella sitting next to her was able to pawn that or own it. In the computer business, we call it POWND or PWND, depending on how you type it. But that's basically where someone with an external device can, in essence, take control of the automobile that you're driving. They can do things like, you know, turn off your brake, turn off your steering wheel, put your accelerator pedal to the floor, and just see what happens. See how long it takes you to run into something at 100 miles an hour. You could call me a tinfoil hat wearer, but the fact is that can happen today. Those tools do exist, and that's one of the many reasons why I don't own a vehicle that has that capability.
Yeah, nor do I. You know, all I can say is it's a darn good thing that my parents couldn't track me at the drive-in when I was 16. So there's an upside to that.
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, there's an argument that people make, you know, if you're not doing anything wrong, then you really have nothing to worry about. But the fact is that, you know, if you can't do what you want and be the person that you want to be on your own terms, then you really kind of give up some of your humanity. So I'll get off my soapbox. I think that it's important to understand what is happening in the world around us and to make conscious and you know, sort of real world decisions based upon the real world that we live in. And, you know, if you feel strongly about this, you know, contact your elected representative. I think that you should, as an American citizen, you should have a relationship with that person at pretty much every level, you know, local school boards, local city councils, you know, your state representatives and state senators, and then your government, your folks in Washington, both representative and senators. You need to strike up a dialogue with those folks and make sure that they know who you are, because I can assure you that nothing tickles a politician more than the status quo and to having people, you know, remain quiet and let them do their job the way they best see fit.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea to track this legislation and be part of that decision-making process, because you will be affected by it.
Absolutely. So, Pete, we've run on a little long today. I want to thank everybody if you've made it this far. We're going to take some of the information that we've talked about, put it in the show notes, and you know, we're going to say goodbye to this beautiful little backdrop here we've got here at the California Auto Museum. Thank them very much for letting us set up shop here and kind of monkey around for an hour or so. And we'll be back next week.
Sounds good. Have a good week.
Pete, thank you very much. Everybody, we're gonna head on out with a little vintage Vandals here. Enjoy the music and enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you next week.
I take her out on a Friday night. At return, what a beautiful sight. She stole my heart, what can I say? Five, four.